Coming up on TMS, we tried to burn the world down.
Today is a good day to kickstart.
Main Man did a bad thing.
Matt Stoney ate a lot of hot dogs.
I thought it was Matt Stone earlier, but it's not that guy. Reddit says, shut it down.
You cut nothing, Jon Snow.
Major spoilers.
V for video games.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
If you've got a taste for something exciting, which drink has the right blend of flavor and nutrition?
Del Monte, pineapple grapefruit.
Del Monte Pineapple Blends. It's the sensible alternative. We grow refreshment.
You look so great up on that bowl.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream. Shut up, baby, I know it.
Oh, hi, everybody. Welcome back to... Never... Look, don't film your scenes with a mouthful of toothpaste is the rule there that we learned.
Yes, exactly.
That was from yesterday's Film Sack. If you haven't heard it, you should. It was a lot of fun, and we laughed a lot, so check it out.
That opening commercial thing you played?
Yeah.
It sounds like they caught Craig T. Nelson running from baggage claim to his taxi at an airport and said, hey, could you say a couple words about Del Monte?
That did sound like Craig T. Nelson. Hold on a second.
If you've got a taste for something exciting, which drink has the right blend of flavor and nutrition?
Del Monte, pineapple grapefruit.
Oh, my gosh.
It's Craig T. Nelson. We caught him at the airport. Can you say, could you say?
Yeah. Hey, it's TV's coach. Because that would have been the era, I guess, right?
That would have been, yeah, right.
I liked Coach. You know what? Netflix, if you bring Coach on, I'd watch Coach. I think it's somewhere. It's not on Netflix, but I'd watch Coach.
Sure.
Sure.
It's great in Parenthood, too.
Yeah, you had Dauber on there, who went on to be Patrick Starr on SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh.
And you got your nobody else I can think of.
Oh.
I can't think of anybody. Oh, the dad, Dick Van Dyke's brother. Not the dad, the coach, or the assistant coach, freaking...
Oh, yes.
Jerry right. Van Dyke, right?
Jerry Van Dyke, right?
Yeah, Jerry Van Dyke?
Jerry Van Dyke.
Yeah, Jerry Van Dyke. Yeah. I want to make...
You don't trust yourself at all this morning,
I don't, dude. Everything's coming out right, but I don't trust it. I think it's all wrong. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Monday, July 6th, 2015. I don't even want to go to the site and look at nerdtacular.com, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
Let's look at the clock. It's, holy shit, 24 days, 7 hours, 54 minutes, 9 seconds.
Wow. I should start writing trivia questions for that thing.
I'm not worried.
I say that every single time. I'm going to show you something. This is not going to give you any sort of advantage in the Frog Pants All-Stars, but I will be ripping part of this movie right here.
Pretty in Pink. Let the jury note show that Brian just held up a DVD copy of Pretty in Pink.
Yes, there will be a snippet of that video at some point during the video segment, round.
Awesome.
Frog Pants All-Stars.
I love one of my favorite rounds in the Frog Pants All-Stars.
Mine too. It takes the most work, but my God, it is the most fun. I love finding a weird thing to do video-wise that you guys have to answer, and I feel like I've got a good one this time around.
Brian is Lord. Bow to him. hey, real quick, speaking of trivia, and you can feel free to steal this. I have no problem with you taking this. In fact, I'm not even sure I came up with it first, but it felt like I did. I was at a Costco over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Costco, it's where I go check out the latest televisions.
It's where you can buy the Kirkland pants and then an aisle over by the Kirkland cheese sauce.
Uh-huh. And then Kirkland toilet paper, because you're going to need it.
After the cheese sauce.
Yes.
So you don't foul up your Kirkland pants.
Listen, they've got you covered from A to Z over there. And little old lady selling little sausage links and things like that, right? That's Costco for you. And, this week they have a giant tent on sale. Next week it'll be an oscillating fan of some sort. Mm. Like, what a weird place. Anyway, people always ask, like, when I need to make some prints quickly and I don't have time to, like, mass do them, for artwork prints or whatever, where do I go? I go to Costco. They have the best quality on their, like, they use it. I mean, normally it's for photos, right? But let's say you want like a 20 by 30 inch big old framed print. Just give them a big old JPEG of your artwork and boom, it's just beautiful. So
really?
Yeah.
Wow. I gotta keep them in mind.
Did that for years. It's a little secret there I used to have. It's not a secret anymore. I just let it out. All right. So I'm at Costco, right? And they always have that big island of books, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Just a huge, it's basically just tables covered in books. And
it is.
It's stacks of the latest stuff. Sure.
Coffee table books.
Sure.
And the latest thriller from James Patterson.
Yeah, some kind of, oh, by the way, there are new Tom Clancy books coming out that say Tom Clancy in the world's biggest font. And then like a picture of like an aircraft carrier or something. And then right below that, by Jerry Sand, or whoever, I almost said Jerry Sandusky, but by some name of some other guy.
Really? Okay, yeah. So it's a book called Tom Clancy.
Well, it's a, I think what it is it's the Tom Clancy brand, but it's a new novel by another guy, but they're doing it under the banner of Tom Clancy.
Yeah, James Patterson did that too with like the Alex Cross stuff. He started handing it off, and during that magical relay race of writers, the James Patterson name was still front and foremost on the cover.
And Patterson's still alive, right? He's still with us?
Oh, yeah.
So when Tom Clancy died, I would have been, because he had to have known the gravity of the brand he held, right? Right, sure, his name meant something.
Sure. If I'd have been video games,
sure. Yeah. And if I was Tom Clancy, I would have had a clause that said, "Y'all can't just smatter my fat name on everything." You know, I don't know. It bugged me a little
bit. So when you pass on, when you shuffle the bonds of this mortal coil, or whatever the phrase is, I can't continue Scott Johnson's The Morning Stream, starring Brian Ibbett.
With a huge look. No, I'm not. I'm gonna I'm gonna have a clause in my will that says quit slapping my name on things.
Damn it.
Sorry about that. So my point is, I'm at this book thing, and I'm walking around and I'm looking at stuff, and it's the tis the season for all of the potential presidential candidates, to start putting out books. Mm-hmm. They're all doing it. And my favorite is one I saw yesterday by Ted Cruz.
Oh, boy.
Hold on. I got to pull this up because it's on my Instagram. Instagram.com/extra life. Okay.
Written in purple Sharpie.
Ted Cruz, A Time for Truth. Okay. And it occurred to me, and I took a picture of it and put it on Instagram. It occurred to me that all of these book titles, because it's not just him, Hillary Clinton's new book, it's called, I'm going to just find it real quick, Hard Choices is her new book. And it occurred to me as I'm reading these various books, and they've all got them, you know, you got Santorum's got a book, everyone's got a book. They all sound like Steven Seagal movie titles.
Yeah, I did see this tweet where like,
right.
Yeah, I think you even suggested Brian should do this in All Stars. Like, is this a...
Now, it's almost too easy because a lot of us are familiar enough with Seagal movies that we would know that one isn't a Seagal movie name. But there's something there. There's something that can be gleaned from how over-the-top silly these titles are. Because you could really see it. Steven Seagal in Hard Choices. Or Steven Seagal in A Time for Truth. Like, it's totally lame. I hate it. I hate that these names are like this because all they do is inspire a bunch of like freak. All right, we're back. What I was meant to say there was that it just creates like people. It creates hyperbole. It creates like a sense of urgency. And I don't know if the before we locked there, I don't know if the recording got me talking about how, you know, Ted Cruz thinks he's cornered the market on truth. That's just a weird thing to say. It's the same, you know, and Hillary Clinton, whatever her boo-hoo is, like it's just over the top ridiculous, but there's got to be a game in there, Brian. There's got to be like a little, there's got to be a way to say, go back and take all the titles printed since Lyndon B. Johnson.
Right.
And then turn that into, is this a this or is it one of these? And then make it part of your trivia thing.
We actually had a round similar to that with Geeks Who Drink. And it was a 50-50 round, right? Where he basically is true or false. Yeah. And it was, is this the title of a Glenn Beck book or not? And it was stuff that was very believably, you know,
very Glenn Beckyish.
Yeah, let me see if I can find a list of these, because Conform, Miracles and Massacres,
wow,
Agenda 21, Control.
Right now I would feel inadequate to the task of telling you which is which.
Broke. Cowards.
Really?
Snow Angel. Yeah.
Really?
Yes, I'm dead serious.
Broke and Cowards. Is Broke a real one? Broke's a real one, isn't it?
Broke's a real one. The Plan to Restore. And there's, you know, there's subtitles, but the, you know, the big title is Broke, The Plan to Restore Our Something or Something.
Great.
Trust, Truth, and Treasure.
Yeah. Well,
but it always begins with Control.
Nice.
Exposing the Truth About Guns.
What was Agenda 21? Is that real or fake?
That's real. Okay. Agenda 21 came out in 2012, and it doesn't. There's no subtitle to that one.
You know, Glenn Beck's company makes like $90 million a year or something.
I believe it.
Makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
He does all right. I hear he's pretty fun at a barbecue.
I'm sure. I'm sure he is. Conform. Exposing the truth behind. Oops. It just disappeared.
Oh.
We'll never know what conform is.
Did Trump write anything but Art of the Deal, or is that all he ever did?
He wrote China.
China. Thank goodness. Someone had to write China.
No, I think he's had to have written...
China.
Uh-huh. That's the one. That's his book tour.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Art of the Deal. Time to Get Tough. Oh, Making really? America Number One Again. Oh, that one came out in 2011.
Oh, wow. All right.
Think Big. Making It Happen in Business and Life.
Mm-hmm.
10 Secrets I Learned from The Apprentice.
Here's his new book.
I'm really rich.
That's the name of his
name of his new one, yeah. Yep. you know what? It could be.
Yeah.
That would be believable.
Yeah, I could actually fall for that one if it was a trivia question posed to me.
How to Get Rich came out in 2013.
Oh, my gosh. So
pretty close.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Guy's great. Well, you get rich when you're so cheap.
$5 billion we spent on a website. I hire people. They do a website. It costs me $3.
Yeah. See, if you do that, you'll save money. Eventually, you'll have all the money in the world. All right. Anyway, hey, happy 4th, everybody. Hope you had a good one. Didn't get hurt or nothing. We were on a street where, this was pretty rad. We went to our neighbor's house and they overlook like a big drop, then a ravine and then a bunch of houses. And as a result, we have a view of quite literally the entire valley, almost a 360 degree view of the whole Salt Lake Valley. And it's nice. Beautiful. It's always a beautiful sight. But on 4th of July night, stuff was popping off everywhere. So it looked like, I mean, if you were just born into this world with full human intelligence and you'd never seen fireworks before, you would think we were under siege because they were just pow, boom, pop, slam, bam, everywhere. Just fireworks right. All over the valley, ranging from just some dude spent $5,000 on a sweet stash and blew them all up to, you know, some municipal park had like state money and did a real one, you know, and they were just everywhere you looked. And from about 8:30 at night until about 10:30, nonstop fireworks. It was great.
Nice.
But a guy on our on that street named Brian Adams.
Right? Okay. Let those jokes begin.
Yeah. Got his first real six string. Yeah. Uh-huh. People used to call it a five and dime. What?
Does everything he does, he do it for you? Because you know it's true.
Yeah, well, if he does, here's what he did for us, right? He bought some big mortars, like the big hefty mortars.
Like the, wow.
Kind of illegal where we live, but he did it anyway. And we're having the driest summer on record this early. So, like, June has been weird. It's been, like, 105 degrees. It's been super hot. Nobody knows why. It's usually not like this till August, so it's real weird. Global hoo-ha, whatever. So, he bought some mortars, and it's fine. There are kids everywhere. Everybody wants to hear these things go off. They sound like murder. And he fires these things off. And not one, not two, but three of them. I don't know where he bought them. He got them on some back alley deal with some dude in a trench coat. I don't know.
Out of the back of a trunk?
Yeah. Three right. of them went... You know, when you fire them.
Yeah.
Fire them in the air. They're supposed to go kapa and explode, make a huge noise and light up the sky. Instead, they went and then fell to the ground and laid there, and nobody could go near it.
Yeah, right. Because you're worried that like the second you step towards it,
It's going to explode and murder everybody. So he had the street full of kids. It was crazy. And I'm not here to say... I'm, you know, we have a story in the news today, which we'll get to, which will be a nice cautionary tale. But I'm a big fan of fireworks. I think it's great. You know, you can do it and be safe, and there's lots of things to do. But this seemed ineffectual, you know, to have duds or to have dubious quality fireworks that were of that caliber. What are we doing? What are we thinking? That's all I got to say about that. How was your 4th? Everything fine?
It was good. Yeah, we went to a friend's house and they...
crazy neighbors or no?
Friends of the crazy neighbors. Well, friends that we met through the crazy neighbors. Mm. And they do it up every year. They do a big boil, like where they... he's got four pots boiling constantly with potatoes, shrimp, onions, corn, sausage. Like just shoved all into these things boiling constantly. He's constantly taking them out and dumping them on tables. And you just basically sit there and you munch, you grab whatever you want, you eat it.
Sounds lovely.
It's fantastic. And then he does it up too with fireworks that sometimes they separate the individual fireworks and set them off.
Right.
Sometimes they leave it in one giant brick and light it and it goes off for about 5 minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
To the point where it's like, oh yeah, oh this is awesome. Oh yeah. Okay, all right, yeah. I guess this is getting kind of annoying because now we just have to sit here
at least for you guys, like in Colorado, the 4th comes and you might have a few idiots before the day and then you have a few after because they still got extra stuff.
Yeah.
But you're kind of done. We have the 24th of July.
Oh, you've got Utah Day or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, whatever it was, our state day where we became a state. Yes. And they do the same thing over again. And I don't mean just like, oh, it's sort of like the 4th. No, it's exactly like the 4th. It's all fireworks again. It's all night across the valley. It's tons of people doing stuff twice. Like they have an excuse to blow shit up twice.
Well, here's your choice, Scott. I'll give you the choice. You've got Utah where, and you're right, you know, you get a little bit before and a little bit after the 4th. But you've got Utah where you've got the 4th of July and then you've got State Day, Utah Day, whatever. But in Colorado, you've got pot smokers handling firecrackers.
Oh my gosh, I didn't think about that, dude.
which would you prefer?
Now that you mention it, I think I'm going the Utah day.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, the only real problem is on the 24th, I don't care as much. And so I'd like to sleep at 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. while people are popping off out there. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing I don't like. But other than that, whatever. Happy Utah Day, everyone, coming up on the 24th.
Yeah, my crazy neighbor and I got yelled at by one of the neighbors several years ago, like 2006, 2007, because we still had a bunch of fireworks, and it was about 1 in the morning. Mm. it was a weekend. Like, it was basically, you know, it was similar to this weekend where 4th of July kind of extended into another weekend day. So it's not like people had to get up early, but neighbor came out in his bathrobe and slippers and said,
he called you Ibbit?
He either said my first name or less. Brian, how old are you? Like, I'm 29. Like I don't know how old I was.
He's like a bewitched neighbor or something.
He totally was. And we kind of laugh about that to this day. But
how old are you?
How old are you?
I love it. And it's hard to take those people seriously when they're in slippers and a freaking
robe. It really is. Yeah, exactly.
Basically, like, his underwear.
But we still have this whole trunk full of fireworks. We're gonna have to.
And you're Americans. You don't waste things. Come on.
No. Well, you want us to throw this away? Yeah. That's un-American. Then the terrorists win.
We use the whole buffalo, basically, is what you're doing.
That's right.
Real quick note, the MyExtraLife.com definitive edition book, which we've had on Kickstarter, I've talked about on the show previously, is like literally, as I put on Twitter this morning, a goat's hair away from the second big stretch goal. We're about to hit 40K. If you want to be a part of that, hop in there and put it over the edge. This brings Scott Kurtz and Steve Hammaker, two venerable, wonderful artists and friends, on board to do some art for the book as well, which we really are hoping to crack that today. And I think we will today, and I'm not sure when. But anyway, if you want to check it out and be a part of it, myextralife.com/book. Watch the video, read the stuff, and you'll know where we're coming from on that. That's it. It's called
so cool.
It's called Daryl.
All right.
You want to do that?
All righty.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Let's get him in
if
here.
We must.
If we have to. We understand. It's fine. Let's see here. Now I'm paranoid about locks, so I got to keep checking this.
E. David Croft keeps posting these photos of, like, Steven Seagal with potential book titles, like A Time for Truth and Hard Choices. They look like movie titles. These are great.
That's what I was hoping this would do.
Yes.
It's happening. It's happening. All right. It's Stump a Truck Nerd brought to you by...
Hi, Scott Pilgrim and G-Man. That's a Scott Pilgrim movie reference. Mm. Bracer here. I'm working on an infinite platform game, and though I'm only at the early stages, I believe I have enough design materials to show my sincerity on the project. Infinite platform game. SNU, the murderous robot. Search for Infinite Platform Game, SNU, or SNU, on Indiegogo to help support this project.
Yeah, go check it out. I'm excited for the guy.
What?
Yeah. Daryl, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. I've created a monster with my daughter, and speaking of this, with MASH, she's now rewatching it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
I don't know what's going on. She just loves it so much.
Well,
that
now
she
that you
can't
know
stop.
The twist ending,
I get
then you want to go back and see how all that stuff relates. Once you realize the whole thing is in the mind of Charles Emerson Winchester.
Yeah, when he's just a fever dream in a bed somewhere.
That's right.
And that the chicken was a baby.
The whole thing takes place in a snow globe on Harry Potter's desk.
Yep. She's so funny because after that chicken was the baby thing,
mm-hmm.
she came over and she just slugged me in the arm out of nowhere in the kitchen. She just hit me in the arm. She goes, now I get it. I go, what do you mean? She goes, I get the stupid chicken reference, and it's sad. And she goes, you're always joking about it. I'm like, well, yeah, it's a jokeable thing. She's like, I know, but it's still fret. And like, she had just seen
Aww.
It. Anyway, now she's somehow watching it again. I don't know what's going on. MASH, a whole new generation consuming
MASH. Too bad after MASH isn't streaming. Then she could get the closure she needs.
Or what was the pilot for Radar's new spinoff? It was called Walter, and it had
Nine is enough.
Exactly. No, it was called Walter, and it had asterisks between the letters, just like MASH did.
Right.
That was so stupid. What a dumb idea. Anyway, Daryl, how you doing?
Great. What?
Okay, good. What? It's good to have you here. It's time to do Stump Trek Nerd, Daryl style. And he's going to answer a Star Trek question. Before we do any of that, though, we got a mashup. I cannot speak to the quality of this. I will play it sight unseen. Here you go.
So it's all dried up in the little caulking tube.
Yeah, the little caulking tube, I like to call it.
In the caulking tube. Uh-huh. Until I was like struggling, like trying to get the stuff to come out of it, and nothing would come out of it. And I put that shit on everything.
Buffalo chips, dude. Oh, that was the next one.
I get those every time I go to a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, get the buffalo chips. They're so good.
Fend 4 Stick 4.
Fend 4 Stick 4?
Fend 4 Stick 4, yeah.
Oh, because that has a 4 in there.
Is that not how they want us to pronounce it? Oh, I'm confused.
Oh, that's too bad. I don't remember where I put it.
That's what she said.
All right, there you go. At least that was all us and had the context of being a TMS matchup.
Wow.
There you go. All right, Freakish Lemon, where are you?
Oh, wow.
Daryl.
J.K. Grammer just posted the intro to the TV show Walter.
Oh, no. This is for real?
For real.
I'm going to play it. Yeah. Okay. Ooh, it's bad VHS. All right, here we go. St. Louis, Missouri, 1954. It's really quiet. I apologize. I can't crank the volume.
Oh, my God. He lived in an old folks home?
That's what it looks like, doesn't it?
Starring
Gary
Berghoff.
Like
retirement home or something.
What's this music? Oh my gosh, there he is. No, that's not him.
No.
Victoria Jackson was in this.
Oh God, really?
Okay.
Either he's a Democrat or he saw my last picture.
Okay.
Oh,
it's got a laugh track.
Oh, there's a laugh track, yep.
Where's Radar? How often we get to see ourselves on television? And I don't want to see myself. Oh, there he's talking in the background. They haven't shown him yet. I'm not the dashing type. I'm gonna skip ahead.
Oh,
still haven't shown him. Oh, there he is.
So, how do I look? Like a rookie? I hope not.
Hey, not bad for off the rack. Yeah,
so he was a police officer in this?
Yeah, he's a cop.
Someday I'll have my tailor paper it in here.
Dude, what the crap? Why?
He's a cop who breaks all the rules.
I can't understand how this didn't take off and be incredibly successful. I can't understand.
Exactly.
All right.
Especially with the 1920s music. That was perfect. That was so era appropriate.
Yeah, that's super dumb. And they had all these opportunities for, like, you know, Jamie Farr would guest star in an episode.
Right.
Oh, Harry Morgan, what are you up to, buddy? And so bad. Anyway, there you go. I hope you enjoyed that. I had no idea that existed. Now I want to see the whole pilot. That's got to exist somewhere. Someone has
sure
that.
Sure does, yeah.
All right, we'll find that. All right, Daryl, your question. You ready for this?
Okay.
All right, here you go. This week's question comes from Chad Dorr. Okay, somebody donated this question, I guess.
Nice.
The question is, what quadrant you from, homie? Chad's name, not me, seriously. Anyway, from what quadrant does the species Wadi come from? WADI, okay? Is it the Alpha Quadrant, B, the Beta Quadrant, C, the Gamma Quadrant, or as he put it, Gamey Quadrant? Or D, the Delta Quadrant. So you've got Alpha, Beta, Gamma, or Delta Quadrants. Those are your possible answers for which quadrant did the Wadi species come from.
I don't even remember the Wadi.
I don't either.
Aren't they Deep Space Nine or something?
Are they? Maybe. I don't know. He doesn't specify here. That's the other thing. This doesn't say whether this is a TOS.
Well, he might answer that in the answer.
Oh, he might say that? Let's see. Oh, you're right. He might answer that in the answer. Let's say...
Oh, the Wadi had a bunch of, like, glyphs on their head. They didn't even bother with, like, prosthetic nose ripples or anything like that. These are just like, yeah, we're going to tattoo a bunch of glyphs on our head.
You know what, Daryl? I'm going to give you a small hint. It's not TOS and it's not TNG.
There you go.
So that may help you. All right, Daryl, while you consider your options there, why don't you give us a little today in Star Trek history?
Okay, back on this day in 1951, Rick Sternbach was born. He is the production designer for the motion picture TNG, DS9, Voyager, and Nemesis.
Wow, that guy was prolific there in the Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Don't really have a guy like that anymore. So if we were to get a new series and stuff, who do you think spearheads it now? Do we have a single body, like a man, a woman, someone who's got the keys to the truck? Or is it all just like committee
now? It's got to be somebody who's a fan or who respects the... respects that. I mean, does Chris Carter, does he...
Well, let's say it is Chris Carter, but that would still mean Paramount would have to entrust a guy.
Sure.
I mean, it may be just as simple as what you're saying. Like, we need a showrunner, and here's a venerable guy who just has lots of success.
Has got some experience.
But I'm wondering, is there like a evangelist out there? Someone who's with the power or the influence or the money or something that could do this, that is already very interested in Star Trek? And I don't mean like Michael Dorn, because he's always trying to get shit made. But, I don't know who that would be now, because Berman's out, right? He doesn't care anymore.
Who's the What's Your Money, Brian thing guy? Who's that guy?
Oh, Your Money, Brian? Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, him. He's way into Trek. He'd do a good job.
Yeah, on Wikipedia it says Seth MacFarlane, the Where's My Money, Brian guy.
Yeah, that's exactly what it says, yeah. I've seen that.
That's the one. That's how you know who he is. but okay, Seth MacFarlane, sure. He's got influence and money, although, lately his coin's a little tarnished lately. Things aren't going great for him.
Yeah.
But he did great on the Cosmos thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That worked out really well.
But that's because he wasn't... He was way behind the scenes. Like, there wasn't little cutaways during Cosmos where, they'd say, yes, it's almost... When you watch a star explode, it's almost like that time you see Clint Eastwood talk to a chair. And then they cut away, and then they... Hey, chair. What are you doing, chair?
Hey, chair.
Let's go out for sushi, chair.
That was weird.
Yeah.
The fact that he ever did that was weird. I think it's that, or maybe Ron Moore, who I know is busy now with his star show, which is doing pretty well.
He does seem like the...
Bring him back.
Like the ideal.
Yeah, because he did it before. Mm-hmm. He was raised... I mean, he was... That's where he got cut his teeth, was in Star Trek. That's where he got hired, and then he pretty much controlled stuff for a while, and then he got pissed and left. Time for the prodigal son to come back. It's like Steve Jobs coming back to Apple in 95. It's like, just bring it back. Save the company. You know? Yeah, so
that could work.
I could see that. I could totally see that. Anyway. Yeah. Well, good job there. Nothing to test today, although I did have a lovely Tai Chi this morning. Tai Chi? Chai tea is what I meant to say. It was lovely.
No slow movements to Chinese music.
No.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. Only if the stereotypes of movies are correct, it's only old people doing that. You notice that? It's never like a young person doing Tai Chi in the park. It's always 16 ancient Asian people, right?
Well, I could have sworn I've seen some like young character in a movie in their apartment doing Tai Chi while,
on Friends or something.
Exactly. Like some sort of meditation montage or something.
Yeah. Oh, Joey, you cut up. All right, Daryl, back to the deal here. Back to the question. You got to answer this now. You got Alpha Quadrant, Beta Quadrant, Gamma Quadrant, or Delta Quadrant. Are your possible answers to the question, which quadrant do the species Wadi come from?
Okay.
I don't remember these guys at all, by the way. I don't know.
Once we say where they're from, then you'll remember.
I faintly remember them, but I don't remember much other than faintly remembering the name.
They were let me just throw out a guess here. They were probably a race that had something about their forehead that was different than the other races.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. They had the little tattooed glyphs on their forehead.
Oh, the guys with like the mullet guys. They had mullets.
Yes.
Oh.
I think they did have mullets, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I remember these. I always just thought of them as the tattoo mullet race, but Oh, yeah. See, I got a photo right here.
Aren't these the ones that played that stupid game?
Probably.
They might be.
I think they are.
Not Domjot, right?
No. No, the other, the really stupid game.
Yeah, the Calamarine whatever game. I think
every,
it's that
I'm
one.
Looking at a bunch of photos. Every member of this race has a mullet. Bad mullet, too.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. So that would be, that would be Gamma then, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Is that what you're telling us? Is that what you're saying? Is that your answer?
I think I'm saying that, and I'm thinking that's who these idiots are. All that's right. Why I remember their name.
Well, all right then. Let's find out if you're correct. If you say Gamma, we'll take your word for it and ask. Is it Gamma? Whoops. Is it Gamma?
Congratulations.
It turns out it is.
You're nicely a played. Winner.
Yes. Yeah, well done. These aliens make the first appearance in the beloved DS9 episode, Move Along Home.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say that because I knew that would give it away.
Yeah. It's that's at least like one of your least favorite episodes, right, Daryl?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't like that one. Here is an here's a quote from that episode. Here you go.
Chula! Did I win?
Hardly. Your pieces will meet the Chandra.
The Chandra? What does that mean? Is it good or bad?
Neither. Both.
I don't understand.
Oh my gosh, that's bad.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
What's the point of that? All right, Daryl, good job.
Although, yeah. I did see it not that long ago, and it wasn't as horrible as I thought.
Oh.
Really?
Okay.
But it was still not good.
Still not lies. One of their better
All of
efforts.
Them lies.
Sure. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there at the Trek Nerd. You can also find him on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, with 24 days left till Nerdtacular, play a game with us now.
Okay. Is this a region of space in Star Trek or an actual region on Mars?
Oh my gosh, do I have a theme for that? Let's see. Here's your theme for that.
More than you know.
All right. Pick that one at random.
Well done.
Yeah.
Briar Patch.
Briar Patch?
Briar Patch. So either a region of space in Star Trek or a real region of Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Briar Patch. I would say Mars. Yeah. I think it's something that NASA would come up with versus something that Gene Roddenberry and company would come up with.
Yeah, and I could see it like the rover got to an area. We've got photos of this where there's no way the rover could make it in there. The rocky nature of it is too much or whatever. We're going to call it the Briar Patch.
Very, yes, right. Totally could see that.
Yeah, I think I'm with Brian on that. We say NASA or we say actual Mars deal.
Okay, get out your telescope and watch the neighbor's big screen TV. Watch Star Trek Insurrection.
Damn it!
It's the nebula space.
Crap! Damn it. Nicely said, but also damn it, because that I wouldn't have guessed.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by.
This segment of TMS is sponsored by Summer. Yes, Summer. Go outside and enjoy it now. This offer not currently available in the Southern Hemisphere.
Oh.
Well, it's,
it is summer and it is hot and it is good to be out. I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Not today here in Colorado. It's going to be 60 degrees or 60. It will be in the 60s today.
Weird.
And I just happen to have a concert tonight where I'm going to go see Elvis Costello and Steely Dan out at Red Rocks.
Are they going to do Veronica? Probably.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure he's opening for Steely Dan, so he's for sure going to do. It's going to be a greatest hits kind of thing.
Steely Dan. Wow.
Steely Dan.
Give us a song. I can't think
Jack.
Of it.
Do it again. Round and round. That's the one.
That sounds great.
And Hey 19 and Bad Sneakers. I can't decide if I'm going to wear my red shoes or my bad sneakers to the concert today.
See, you guys, Brian likes crowds. I loved them. When I was
not a big fan of crowds, but I'm a big fan of Steely Dan and Elvis Costello.
Yeah, and you like a good concert. You're a fan. I don't know what happened. About 25, and I went, I'm done with concerts. I don't care about them anymore.
It takes a lot for me to go to a concert. Like, it has to be one of my favorite artists or bands. Yeah. Crowded House, Squeeze, you know, any of those guys come through town, I'm definitely going to go see them. If it's not somebody in that top list, then I'm not sure I want to do it.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Crowded House. Yesterday, my daughter had never heard Crowded House before. I don't know how, just never heard it. And I was playing something in the car, and she went, "Ooh, who is that?" And I said, "Oh, now listen to this. This is Crowded House." And I said, "By the way, this is one of Brian Dibbitt's favorite bands, if not his favorite."
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "No way." And then I look over at her a little while later, and she's typing something in her phone. I go, what are you doing? She goes, I'm writing this down so I remember to go get this music.
Oh, yeah.
So you have a new fan.
Well, I don't have a new fan. Crowded House has a new fan.
She seemed to think you liking it, though, was a bonus. She seemed to think well, that meant good. Something. Yeah. Good. Yeah. And I said, well, it does mean something. Brian's he's one of my music. I mean, he's the only friend I have that has any kind of like genius with music.
There's a lot of music in my library so for me to be able to say, here's one of my favorite bands, you know, it has to be Emmy effing good.
Yeah. Emmy effing good.
Emmy effing good.
That's what mom says.
Emmy effing good.
Mom likes Kicks for what Kicks has got. all right. What's going on in the news? A main man. This is kind of sad, but also a cautionary tale. Main man has died instantly after lighting a firework on his head. Don't do this stuff, you guys. A young man named Devin Staples, who was drinking and celebrating on the 4th of July, tried to launch a firework off the top of his head, fatally injuring himself, authorities said Sunday. Devin Staples and his friends had been drinking, setting off fireworks Saturday night in the backyard of his friend's home in a small area of the main city of Calais. Oh, that's a French bullshit.
Yep.
Got it.
French bullshit.
That's right. Let's see. Department of Staples, age 22. This is usually when people try to do dumb things. Don't be dumb when you're 22.
Yeah.
Placed a fireworks mortar tube on his head and set it off.
Mortar tubes.
The firework exploded. It killed him instantly. The death is the first fireworks fatality in Maine since the state legalized fireworks on January 1st, 2012. Similar law passed right around that same time here in Utah. We used to not be able to have like the heavy stuff sold to consumers.
You could only have like the worms and the smoke bombs and.
Yep. But in the community I live in, it's not supposed to be allowed at all. They have some strict guidelines because there's some field stuff that could catch and things like that. And yet people were still doing it. I don't know how they were. I don't think they were enforcing it very much. But yeah, don't put that stuff on your head, dude. I don't know why you do that.
Yeah, it all begins with beer.
Yeah.
It begins with beer and it continues with a, hey, watch this and...
Do you think like Steve-O has to pay a dollar every time somebody else does something stupid like this? Because I feel like the Jackass guys inspired a lot of these things. I don't want to put it. I'm not blaming them.
No, I think that they were just the most visible producers of it. I think that listen, people have been doing stupid things for a lot longer than the Jackass people.
That's true.
Have been doing. I mean, there's the Darwin Awards every year for people like this.
Sure.
Sadly. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. You know that this was like something, hey, make sure you record this, put it on YouTube. It's like one of these things where, oh, this will be, it's a really dumb idea, but it'll totally go viral. Mm-hmm. People, don't worry about going viral. Yeah. You know, don't worry about doing something dangerous because, you know, it's going to get a lot of likes on Facebook. It's not worth it.
Plus, you can't force viral. It always has to come naturally.
Right, exactly.
You can't push it. Matt Stoney.
Great name. Stoney.
Matt
Stoney.
This guy in the news. He won the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Matt Megatoad Stoney.
Why are we saying Matt Stoney when his nickname is Megatoad?
Megatoad. He defended. He it's beat
my
the
favorite Transformer.
And they all have nicknames. This is great. He defeated current champion or former champion Joey Jaws Chestnut.
Yeah,
that's Joey Chestnut. That's a great name. In the 2015 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, the other guy was 8-time winner, by the way. So this guy totally unseated
took over from, it was like Kobayashi or something like that, right? It was some other.
Oh, was it?
It was another guy who was like the longtime winner for the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
I love watching that Kobayashi guy do it because he's this little skinny Japanese guy.
Yes.
He just puts it away. They all, let me just make it clear here though. They all barf everybody.
Yes, they do.
Nobody goes home and goes, boy, I'm stuffed. I couldn't eat another bite. It doesn't work that way. They all yak it up. Stoney ate 62 francs and buns in 10 minutes. Two more than Chestnut consumed in the Coney Island tradition, the New York Daily News reported. By the way, they've been doing this for 8 years. That guy was an 8-time winner. That means for the entirety of Obama's presidency, that guy was winning food eating contests, that Chestnut guy.
Wow. Yeah, I'm kidding. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Afterward, Chestnut complained that some of the hot dogs were served cold, according to the SB Nation.
I can't eat this. It's cold.
I can't possibly eat another 10 of these. Afterwards, Chestnut... Oh, I said that. I read that. Chestnut has been on the decline for years. Jeez. Let's just throw this guy under the bus. He set the Nathan's record with 69 hot dogs in 2013, but this performance dropped 61 this year. In the women's competition held earlier Saturday morning, Miki Sudo retained the women's title by eating 38 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Holy shit.
Yeah.
CBS News reported runner-up Sonya Black Widow Thomas devoured 31.
She's actually, I think she's the record holder with 45, right?
Yep. There it is.
That's to say there. Oh, okay,
later there in the article it does, yeah.
Yeah.
Past where I have it.
Yeah, Takito Kobayashi won. He was the winner from 2001 to 2006, and then Joey Chestnut took over.
Well, the guy to beat now.
Yep.
Matt Megatoad Stoney.
Hey, Megatoad, man. Good job, Megatoad.
How old is that guy? Doesn't say, does it?
Matt Stoney, I bet I can look it up here. He is... He was born 1992, so what does that make him, like 23?
Yeah, look at him. He's just, he's another Asian guy. Everyone's Asian. What's going on with that?
Stoney is an Asian name?
Yeah. Well, no, he's just an Asian guy, though. Okay. I'm looking at his photo here. That dude's Asian.
Look at that. He's got a little t-shirt of, he's got the Nathan's t-shirt on.
Megatoad. All right, well, good for him. May he not suffer any...
Stoney's first major league eating debut was at the Stockton Deep Fried Asparagus Championship in Stockton, California in 2011.
Brian, I just got diarrhea from you saying those words.
His pee will never smell normal again. His nickname Megatoad is from the character Toad from the Super Mario Brothers video game.
Oh.
He's gained fame from his YouTube channel where he uploads many eating challenges.
That now.
Here's his other work. Oh my gosh, he's got a lot of world records. You ready for this?
Yeah, go.
Birthday cake, 5 pound birthday cake in 8 minutes, 59 seconds.
All right.
43 slug burgers in 10 minutes.
What's a slug burger?
Don't know, but it's apparently a thing. It's an eating championship
deal
presented by Main Street Corinth.
All right.
The Cucamonger burger from the Kooky Canuck in Memphis, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
7.5 pound burger in 4 minutes, 43 seconds.
Oh my gosh.
Indian tacos from Atmore, Alabama. 32.5 Indian tacos in 8 minutes.
Wow.
10.5 pounds of frozen yogurt from Yogurtland. Like ice cream headache is what I'm visualizing. 24 euros in 10 minutes in Houston. 14.75 pounds of poutine in Toronto, Ontario.
Yeah.
182 slices of bacon in Daytona, Florida, a 20.8 pound pumpkin pie in 8 minutes, 120 Twinkies in 6 minutes, 34 pepperoni pizza rolls.
That's insane.
And then iguanas, burritozilla, and some pork rolls.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Congrats to that guy.
He did. Okay, never mind. I was going to say he looked like he came from Denver because he went to Evergreen Valley High School, but that's in San Jose, California.
Another place. Gotcha.
Congratulations, Matt Stoney, on eating all the things.
Yeah, all hail Megatoad. All hail the Megatoad.
Wow.
Reddit revolted. That's in the news. There you go.
I knew Reddit was revolting.
Well, there are times, right? And you're like, the Reddit community revolted after Ask Me Anything administrator was dismissed. The Reddit community was in flux after the administrator of one of the site's most popular sections was let go on Thursday. It's unclear why Victoria Taylor, an administrator in the IMAMA thing, Ask Me Anything section, was dismissed. But volunteer moderators shut down several other sections in the social sharing site to protest, including the / gaming section, the videos, humor, like all the major ones.
Oh, jeez, those are big ones. It's like, all right, you kicking her out, then we're pulling our stuff, or we're...
That was hardcore, dude.
That's crazy.
They did this for a few days. Now that stuff's back up. She reportedly helped arrange and run thousands of AMAs, Reddit's version of Q&A, including one with President Barack Obama. She said in a short AMA of her own that she was dazed after the firing, but didn't give any hints as to why it happened. As a result, several popular subreddits, including the gaming, history, art, videos, funny, were all temporarily set to private, effectively shutting them down. Most of them appeared to be back up and running by mid-Friday. Many of them explained that the shutdown was due to Taylor's dismissal. It was like a full-on revolt. It's like a weird, nation state, Reddit.
It's really a strange place, man.
I guess volume of people plus, I don't know, they do a lot of weird things on Reddit. Mm-hmm. Reddit's weird. Reddit's cool, Reddit's rad, Reddit's weird, Reddit's kind of gross.
It's the Wild West.
Yeah, it really is. It's a strange bit of the internet, for sure. So there you go. And there was a lot of talk during that time. A bunch of people were like, I'm going back to Dig. We're going to dig.com again. Like, no, you're not.
Kevin Rose's, yay!
Yeah, he's like, oh, I shouldn't have sold it. You cut nothing, Jon Snow, is our final headline.
Okay.
British actor Kit Harington plays Jon Snow in the incredibly popular HBO drama series.
Yeah, we're going to be treading on some spoiler water here.
Well,
so
here's the deal. It's not 2 weeks later, right?
We're past 2 weeks.
So that's the rule that Vince Gilligan gives us. I'm still a little hesitant. Part of the problem is that the books have ended where this ended too. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what's happening, but I can tell you that the wiki, well, let's just say this. Okay. I know how not to spoil it.
All right.
Kind of. There's a chance that, given the circumstances of the story, both in book and in show, that Kit Harington, who plays Jon Snow, may not return. That's all.
Sure.
Could be anything. Could go off to work.
It's possible. He's still sporting. He's still wearing his beard and long, curly hair.
Yeah, and that's the trick. That's what everyone's saying here. These conspiracies are flying because he is still, all this time after production later, meaning they're getting ready for production on next season, he's still got the same hair, the same hair, the same kind of beard cut and everything else.
That's because wearing that that look and walking around the streets pulls in a lot of trim.
I bet it does.
Yeah.
Pulls in a lot of trim. Wow. You know, I expect you to be telling me that with a dame on each arm and a...
I tried to phrase it in a way that was not vulgar.
Right. I know what you mean. It's very like a 1920s speakeasy way of saying.
There were far worse phrases I could use that wouldn't sound as
I kind of liked it. It brings in a lot of trim with that. So
pulls in a lot of trim.
I like it. I like it a lot. Anyway, the fact that he's showing up at basketball games like in normal clothes, but exactly the Jon Snow.
That'd be great if he actually showed up with the whole crow outfit. Yeah.
Got a big white dog with him and a freaking huge sword made out of zombie killer material. Valerian steel, I guess. Anyway. There's no other indication other than that just seems a little fishy. So people are, and you know what? I gotta tell you that the wikis that have covered the books for ages, they have always said his status is unknown.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, there's the way it was shot and ended does leave questions.
Yeah. And George R. R. Martin's not telling anybody. He's just sitting around going,
let me adjust my suspenders.
I like this hat.
Got $50.
I'm gonna kill everyone.
Finish this book.
That's soon too. That book, I think.
It is. Yeah.
I hope we've been waiting forever, as Paul and Storm would gladly sing to us and tell us and remind us.
Right.
We're gonna take a break. When we come back, it's time for major spoilers and for Veronica. She'll be here talking video games. We also have some of your feedback today. And before we go, I'd like to tell you that TweakedAudio.com, a venerable sponsor of this program, is here yet again today to tell you you can go save some money at their store. You got a birthday for somebody coming up. You got a big holiday coming up. Whatever. You want to get us something cool, something rad, and save some money and not look like a cheapskate, go to tweakedaudio.com, check out their great selection, and buy something at 33% off with the code STREAM. That's at tweakedaudio.com and the code STREAM. All right, let's take a break. You got music? What are we doing?
I do. How about something going out to Jeff Anderson from Austin, Texas? All Mr. Right. Anderson. Hey, Scott and Brian, my current contract position just ended, and I'm still waiting for some contact with my recruiter. Can I request a cover of Call Me by Blondie to help coax a call from her? Thank you for making my days at work and off days work and off work even brighter. Love the show, though. Jeff from Austin, Texas.
Nice.
Very good. All right. So, yes, a cover of Call Me. Actually, I just did the Blondie and Clash cover story over on Coverville, by the way. Mm-hmm. So if you enjoy this song, go listen to more covers of Blondie and even bonus the covers of The Clash in the same episode. It was the episode that went up on Saturday morning or Friday morning.
Nice.
But that's not what we're playing here. We're playing a cover of Call Me. This is by Daisy Shane. It's a single of the same name. This is great, and it changes things up a little bit. Call Me by Daisy Shane.
Color me your car. Color me your Here's a toy both you and your kids will like. It's the Shuffletown Railroad. Kids love shuffling the little people in the train around town, and you'll like the fact that the pieces won't fall out. So picking up is child's play. And you can connect all the Shuffletown sets to create Shuffletown World. Kids can shuffle from the farm to the school and back to the train. And the pieces will stay all aboard. Right, kids?
Right!
Shuffletown Farm School and the new Shuffletown Railroad from Hasbro Preschool.
Not glove, nor love.
The Morning Stream. Better than a straw tart blue blueberry pop tart. Pop torch. Gonna take me a couple to get that one. Hang on. Better than a straw tart. This is recording, right? Let me check. Better than a straw tart. Better than a straw tart blueberry pop torch.
Scott Fletcher, don't go changing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go changing.
His flubs are just as funny as his ones where he's spot on, man.
I agree.
He rocks.
He's the man in that regard.
He can do no wrong.
Let's add Steven to the call.
Yes.
I had to pee and barely made it back in time for the song.
Well, you should let me know. We'll pick Freebird or something over Freebird for you.
Oh, I had to pee so bad. I drank too much water and tea this morning. Chai tea. Had to go, yo. On the line with us is this guy right here. Whoops. Oh, hold on. Where'd it go? There we go. Right here. Welcome to the program, one Stephen H. Schleicher III. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
What's your middle name? What's your middle initial?
Do I have F.
F?
You've never gotten it right. Of the 26 letters of the alphabet, you have never done F.
Let me guess the actual name. So here goes. Ferdinand.
No.
Frederick.
Almost as bad.
Okay. Frederick. Not Frederick?
Not Frederick.
Fauntleroy.
Not Fauntleroy,
though. Fart.
Yes. Fart. Fart is my middle name.
Stephen Fart Schleicher.
Stephen Fart Schleicher.
Perfect.
Yes.
Give us a hint. What does it rhyme with?
I'll just tell you. It's Francis.
Oh, Francis. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
My mother-in-law's name is Francis.
Yes, I know. I get that a lot.
Yeah,
it's an E. Her name is E. My name is I.
Yeah. And plus, you get that dude from Stripes. I'm sure that never comes up.
Yes, and the Talking Mule and all that stuff.
Yeah. You've heard it all.
I've heard it all.
Steven's heard it all.
Sales. Buzz off, Princess.
That's right. It's because Steven's the purveyor of all things at majorspoilers.com, the place I will head to most this week for Comic-Con coverage.
Oh, my gosh. Comic-Con is just days away.
Yeah, literally, right? Is there is there stuff you're most excited about? Like, are you on pins and needles?
Here? Saturday night, Hall H, 8 to 10 p.m. And this is one of the most interesting things about Hall H this year is, of course, Marvel, Paramount, and Sony, I want to say, are not doing Hall H presentations because they either don't have any movies to bring or they don't have anything to show. And so they're just pulling out completely, which leaves really only Warner Brothers to step in Saturday night, 8 to 10 p.m. with their big Batman v Superman. Or really, it's the Warner Brothers Power Hour.
Mm.
But it's all going to turn into the Batman v Superman stuff.
Interesting.
And I think that's what people are most excited about. And Warner Brothers must know it's a big thing, too, because they're saving it for Sunday. Sunday is an okay day. It's only half a day at the show, or it's a full day at the show, but a lot doesn't go on Sunday. So Warner Brothers is putting it all in Saturday night, last night of the show, and hope to bring down the house.
Yeah. I mean, I'm as disappointed as I was in Man of Steel overall. This is something I've decided to be very upbeat about until I see it. You know, I'm not just going to do the usual, Zack Snyder doesn't animate me, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I want to actually see a thing that I've dreamt of since I was a kid. Avengers, great. Iron Man, all these things, great. Seriously, they're like the manifestation of childhood comic dreams, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Batman and Superman being together and exploring this part of the conflict of their relationship is a thing I've, since I was a little kid,
oh yeah,
wanted to see.
Oh yeah, ever since Dark Knight Returns landed on store shelves, this is what people have been wanting to see. And of course, they keep bringing up Batman and Superman fighting it out, and we see the battle armor, and we see the kryptonite, and we see it all.
Yeah,
and even if it's just half as much as what we've seen in the comics, I think it's going to be pretty spectacular. Now, of course, people are going to complain about, oh, look at all the city destruction and look at how many people died.
I love it. Keep in mind, in the context of this conversation, we're talking about fake people, everybody. It's not that Stephen wouldn't be upset about actual people
dying.
Oh,
no. But I mean,
right.
In context of a fake comic book world in which every other superhero, I mean, look at the Avengers. Spoiler alert. They destroy an entire city.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they try, to their credit, I guess they try to bring the party to you. That's one thing they try to do.
I guess that's one.
And really, they didn't see how that was a party.
I didn't see that.
But I'm very, very excited. And so I guess the assumption is we're going to get a big trailer, right?
Oh, yeah. That's the least thing that we expect to see.
You think Ben Affleck's feeling a little down? I mean,
No, I don't think so.
Him and Sidney Bristow breaking up?
No, I think this was a 10-year, one of those prenuptial things.
Like this was an arrangement?
I think so.
Oh. But they got little kids involved.
They continue to live together for the kids. So.
Yeah.
Oh, they are living together for the kids?
Yep.
Hollywood's weird, dude.
Yep.
It's
weird.
Well, doing it for the kids.
Mm.
Yeah,
she's not spent. Is she all out of the 13 going on 30 money? Like what?
Oh, please. No,
she's
probably
on that Capital One money, right? Or whatever.
And what has she got? The Noxzema stuff still or whatever?
Oh, yeah. She's lovely.
She's a very pretty girl.
Absolutely beautiful.
Super,
yeah.
Super, super attractive.
Very attractive. Very, very pretty. I think smart. Yeah. I really like her a lot. And in fact, I make fun of 13 going on 30, but I actually really like that movie.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good. The Hulk's
especially
good in
the,
it.
The Michael Jackson Thriller dance bit.
Yeah, that one's all right.
Yep.
I like.
Not that I've seen that movie or anything.
I like that. Who plays Gollum? Andy Serkis is in it.
Yeah.
Plays
yeah.
kind of a normal guy for once, which is kind of fun to watch.
Yep.
So yeah, it's that movie's worth it.
And I'm sure she's still raking it in with the alias money.
Yeah. Well, of course she is. That stuff's been in syndication forever and will always be. So she'll do just fine.
She'll be fine.
JJ money. Yep. So tell us about, I guess, Marvel's, they're all new now.
All different Marvel.
What's happening with that?
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked last week that people were a little up in arms about the Spider-Man with Miles Morales. And I said, before everybody gets too excited, there will be Spider-Man. There will be Peter
Still
Parker.
Regular Amazing Spider-Man, yeah.
Yes, and in fact, Amazing Spider-Man number one has been announced, or it was actually probably announced probably a little bit ahead of what Marvel wanted. I think they were waiting for one of their big panels at Comic-Con to announce it, but they went ahead and just said, okay, fine, here are all of the titles, here are all of the creators coming out in the next couple of months. Amazing Spider-Man number one, written by Dan Slott, art by Giuseppe Camuculli. I don't know how to pronounce last names, especially if they're not something simple like Smith or Johnson or something like that.
Sure.
Right.
The Captain Marvel number one will have a double creative team of Tara Butters and Michelle Fazekas, with art by Chris Anaka. And probably the one people are probably most excited about, Old Man Logan number one.
Oh, yeah, right. I've heard a lot of good stuff about that.
It can be good. I mean, it's Jeff Lemire, and he does really, really good stuff. And I think that this is a move in the right direction for Marvel. It seems, though, I don't know, DC Marvel seem to be kind of doing a lot of the same things lately, where when we say continuity's up in the air, we're just going to tell good stories over at DC, and we're going to bring back, you know, Silver Age Superman if it suits our needs, or we're going to bring back so-and-so character if it suits our needs. That's kind of what Marvel's doing now when you look at this rundown of comics and creators coming out in the next couple of months.
Mm. Yeah, I'm excited to see some of this stuff. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk about this at the con as well.
Oh, yeah. Marvel's got at least four different panels talking about
it. It's
this,
very interesting looking through all of these covers. Like, you see Medusa, really strong presence by Medusa of the Inhumans. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they're really starting to push the Inhuman stuff in anticipation of the movie. X-23 kind of taking over the regular Wolverine role.
Mm-hmm.
Man-Thing joining the Howling Commandos, which blows my mind.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that's out there. Karnak also getting kind of front and center, treatment with his own book. I'm kind of excited about some of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it really should get a lot of people excited, especially if they're like, oh man, I sure did love blank from, you know, this year. There's
right.
a good chance that it's out there now, and it's coming out from Marvel.
This Daredevil promo, is that Gambit?
I don't know.
Standing in front of him?
Oh, yeah, it does look like Gambit.
Is it Gambit? It's
he's got the headpiece and he's got the staff. He doesn't
I love
have
that
the trench
art.
Coat or any throwing cards.
That,
but,
art is, that art is amazing, by the way.
But
that
you
is.
Know, that's Ron Garney.
Yeah, that's Howard Porter's buddy.
Yeah.
He's good. Yeah, I want that on my wall, actually.
When does Scott Johnson get a cover over at Marvel? You know all the movers and shakers.
Never.
No kidding.
Never is the answer.
Oh.
Well, all right. That's all well and good. So Comic-Con, every year, I feel like the conversation pops up. hey, are you ever leaving San Diego? Or, hey, San Diego, you're not accommodating us very well. Or there's always some fight, debate, thoughts of leaving, blah, blah. Now there's, of course, it's time to talk about it again. And now we're hearing they're not moving anytime soon. What's the
deal? Not moving anytime soon. The big holdup, of course, in the last couple of years was the expansion of the convention center. Mm-hmm. That got put on hold because of, I don't know, some tax thing that was going on that was illegal for the city to do. And so they haven't expanded like they said they would by 2015, which was one of the requirements that sent the Comic-Con International said that they wanted to have. Mm-hmm. Then there became this whole thing in the last, I want to say 6 months probably, about, I don't want to say price fixing, but they were trying to get all of the hotels to stop jacking up their prices during Comic-Con. And I guess the hotels finally agreed with the city's help to say, hey, man, yeah, we'll keep our prices low. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And so Comic-Con International has announced that San Diego Comic-Con will remain in San Diego through 2018.
That's a long time.
Yes.
That's
3 years. The last time was, I think, 3 years was a 3-year deal. So,
you know what hit me the other day? We just passed the 10-year anniversary of Batman Begins. And we're about to hit the 10-year anniversary. And 2018 will be the 10-year anniversary of Dark Knight. That's insane to me.
I know.
That feels like, literally like yesterday.
Time moves by so quickly.
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
I know. The big thing, though, I don't know if it's been addressed there in your Utah paper, Scott, is the big lawsuit now that they're moving into arbitration.
What's a paper?
With the Salt Lake City Comic Con.
Oh, right. Yeah. There is some talk about that. Do you think it'll end up? I don't know how this will end up, honestly. I mean, our local con here has been making real good money. Mm-hmm. They probably can do some sort of arbitration agreement payout thing if they had to, but there's also, on the surface of it anyway, like the organizers are super defiant and have
been.
Well,
and I mean, they really should be in this case, to be honest. I mean, we talked probably this time last year with a law professor down at the university, and she was like, look, they really, Comic-Con International really doesn't have a leg to stand on, because Comic-Con has become so commonplace word. And so they've also lost copyright lawsuits in the past because of that. And so the chances of Salt Lake City losing this is pretty slim.
Well, that's good. If it's arbitration, that's either one side or the other saying we need to come to an agreement here and do it in a way that doesn't go to some horrible, long, drawn-out trial.
Yeah.
I just don't know which side's saying that. You know, is it San Diego saying, all right, look, we'll concede some things, but we need to do this in arbitration? Or is it Salt Lake saying that? I don't know. And that, I think that part's unknown at this point.
And we won't know all the terms of the deal even when they reach it. So.
Right. So there you go. Some local hubbub there.
Yep. Yep.
Archie, finally in the news, Archie number one arrives this week. They're rebooting that thing because he killed him last time, right? Or something?
Well, no. They killed Archie a long time ago in one of those alternate timeline stories.
Yeah.
But they did wrap up, and I find it still
Archie.
So I find it so fascinating that the final issue of the first volume of Archie ended with 666.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Archie Comics number one comes out this week, written by Mark Wade, art by Fiona Staples, for those of you who are Saga fans.
Oh, man.
Archie sent me this morning the advanced review copy. The art is fantastic. I haven't had a chance to read through the stories.
Very different, yeah.
That's so cool.
It is very cool. I mean, there are a few pages of preview art available at majorspoilers.com, but I've gone deep, deep, deep into the issue, and it just continues to look great. And there's a couple of different stories in there for people to check out, but if you are a fan of Mark Wade, if you're a fan of Fiona Staples' art, you go check this book out because it's got some good stuff inside.
Wow, this is really nifty.
So Archie's a rock and roller now, huh?
Well, he's always been in, you know, the Archies and whatnot.
He?
But I mean, there's a bigger part to that story that I haven't had a chance to read it all. But there's a bigger part to the story that involves Jughead, and Reggie is like a 50s greaser in this thing. And it's like really cool.
Mm. Dude, Fiona Staples killing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm. I love this. This is a really great style, a really great take.
The only downside to this is that Archie is releasing like 5 billion different variant covers.
I know.
Yeah.
Some are specific to your store. So if you're going to Midtown Comics or if you're going to Golden Apple or wherever, you're probably going to have a store variant there. But there are still 5 or 6 other variants that are out there for you to pick up. But literally, I think there are probably 25 or 30 variant covers for this first issue.
There's a Scott Campbell cover.
Mm-hmm. J. Scott Campbell.
Yeah, I love him. Yeah, this is cool. Yeah, well, I don't know. Suddenly I'm interested in Archie for the first time in ever. So.
Oh, yeah. Check it out. It's really nice. And of course, because it's Fiona Staples, it's not following the Archie house style of art. So gone is the waffle hair Archie and all that stuff. So
right. You don't need no waffle hair, I'll tell you that.
Don't need no waffle hair.
Yeah, I've said that a lot. Sweet. Well, this week is going to be a big week because it's all about yep. Comic-Con all the time. I'm suspecting we're going to get a Warcraft trailer, by the way.
I would imagine. I didn't see what night Legendary is doing their presentation or what day Legendary is doing their presentation, but I do expect that to pop up at least over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole lot more.
My suspicion is you'll have links to everything as it happens.
Oh, yes. If people want to follow along, we will update it as soon as the news comes out or sometimes even before, because some of the fine publishers send us their press releases and say, hey, this is embargoed until our presentation begins. And then even before their presentation is over, we've got the stuff up on the site.
Steven is your man on the digital street, everybody.
Try to be.
So pay attention. It's majorspoilers.com. Bookmark mm-hmm. it. Be there. Go there. And Majorspoilers on Twitter. Steven, always a pleasure.
Actually, we can confirm Saturday, July 11th, Legendary is showing the official trailer at its panel.
Oh,
there you go.
Is that true?
Just came in at 10:01 a.m. announced. So.
Well, then I'm excited in ways I can't express. All right, yeah, I'm really stoked for that, and can't wait to see what those guys try to do. Zoe Bowie finally getting his chance to shine in a video game movie. All right, Steven, take it easy. We'll talk
to you
soon.
Guys.
See you later. Bye. That's exciting.
That is exciting. It's very exciting.
Me want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Me want to see it. By the way, it was Chrome that crashed earlier, apparently, that killed me.
Oh.
Yeah. Thanks, Chrome.
Well, there you go. Chrome.
Apparently wasn't something else. This is according to Zeladir, who's my constant tech. He's like my little tech angel. Sits on my shoulder in the chat room and tells me nice. Everything's going to be okay. Everything will be fine. All right, it's Veronica time. And you know what that means, Brian?
Play it.
It's this thing right here. Veronica Ann Belmont joins us on the program like she does almost every Monday, pre-Comic-Con. You're headed down there, yeah?
I am. Is Brian, are you laughing because he says Veronica Ann Belmont? Is that why you're laughing?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't help it. I can't help it now. I hear it. When I say your name, I hear it said. So
that's
I have
so
to say
funny.
It.
Yeah, you're the only one.
You and your, me and your mom. That's it, right?
Yes.
Veronica Ann Belmont, you get back up here.
That's right.
Now. Oh, God, you're giving me PTSD.
Clean your room. speaking of rooms, you got one? Everything's good? You're all settled for the week?
I'm staying with my uncle.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I'm staying with my family in-laws down in San Diego. So I'm going to be sleeping on the couch,
nice.
Surrounded by kitties all night. It should be fun.
Yeah.
Small children.
Oh, not like kittens. Okay.
Kitties. Not kitties.
Yeah.
Not, oh, that's
little
worse.
Because you, if they were kitties, if they were cats, you'd love that. That'd be
I'd be
great.
Like, oh, just all over my body. Just lay on me, cats. Oh,
it's still one of my favorite photos I have is one of Veronica on my couch holding a kitten and then you fell asleep with the cat.
I just died. Just died right there.
She
that's how
so
I want to die.
Poor little Fry. We don't know what happened to him. Anyway.
Oh!
I know. I know. Digging up old wounds. It's all PTSD all the time today. Veronica comes on the show on Mondays, talks about video games, the culture of it, the news around it, all that kind of fun stuff. What's happening today? What's going on?
Ooh, they found an OG, old school prototype Nintendo PlayStation console.
Yeah, this is like the holy grail of like, not rumors, but like, behind the ET cartridges buried in the New Mexico desert, this is kind of right up there in terms of we knew it was being made, but no one ever really saw one. There's never been any real like definitive pictures.
Right.
This is it, man.
This is it. I mean, I almost want to believe somehow that it's a hoax, even though I know it's not. I don't it's not because it's on GameSpot, it's on all the blogs. You know, I mean, I know that hoaxes can get through.
Sure.
But part of my mind is like, oh, this can't be real. It's too cool. It can't be. Yeah, they only made 200 prototypes and they were all destroyed, except apparently this one.
Mm-hmm.
And a Reddit user started posting pictures of it. He found it, and his username is Dunnelbold. It's D N L B. No, DNLDBLD.
Oh, wow.
Donald Blade.
Donald Blade. They don't have the power supply, though, so they can't power it up yet.
Oh, they can't fire it up? They could probably...
Well, it seems like they could pack a power supply together,
well,
right?
They should be able to figure something out, yeah, eventually.
So this is interesting. So in case for your listeners who don't know the old story, Nintendo and PlayStation were originally going to work together on... I'm sorry, Nintendo and Sony were originally going to work together on a console that would be called the Nintendo PlayStation. Nintendo Play, one word, station, another word.
Sure.
And they were going to, you know, they announced it at CES, but at that same CES, I think it was in like, you know, 25 years ago, 91, something like that, they also said that the company that was going to, they were going to work with Philips as well. Mm-hmm. And so Sony was like, what the hell? Like, that's BS. Like, we're doing this partnership and now you're working with Philips for the discs, for the CD discs. And so they broke up. They had a big public falling out. Mm-hmm. The console was never put into production. Sony went on to create the PlayStation, which of course was a massive hit. And so this is just a little piece of history of what could have been if Nintendo hadn't screwed the pooch. And I mean, I guess it worked out okay for them in the end too.
Sure.
But you know, what would have been like to only have the Nintendo PlayStation?
Well, at the time, it was all about, all right, a hot new format coming. It's CDs. It's optical technology. And everybody wanted in. And this was Nintendo's way of getting in because they really didn't have any expertise in that. Sony was already exploring that with compact discs and music and other stuff. And so it seemed like this really nice partnership. The part that's just boggling to me, there's two parts of this that are fascinating. One is that Nintendo would not inform Sony at an event that is this big that they were also having a third-party partner to work with, and that Sony was just like caught completely unaware by this weird Nintendo move. That to me is crazy. But then later, the idea that Sony almost built a video game empire of their own out of spite, out of anger, and out of being pissed. They even took the name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they even took the name and said, "Fine, we'll take the PlayStation name. And we'll make a PlayStation." And we'll for a while there, kick your ass. Well, still.
Kick our ball and go home.
To this day, still they've come out on top for sure.
It's crazy to me.
It's pretty amazing. Yeah, I can't. It feels so Nintendo to me because Nintendo, of all three console makers, has always been the most secretive, the most elusive. Right. And I kind of love the idea that Nintendo was like, yes. And now we'll partner with Philips for the optical drive instead. Right. Yes. Yeah. We'll not tell Sony that we're not using their technology. Like, how would they even have a partnership?
You're drumming your fingers.
I am!
Yeah, you should be.
I was. Man, I'm glad you don't have video because I haven't showered yet today, but I was definitely drumming my fingers Mr. Burns while I was saying that.
Wow. It's cool.
It's pretty neat.
It's cool because it's just such a legend. Like, I feel like, I don't know, do we have any left? What are the other legends that are left? I don't think there are any more that are this big.
I don't know. Yeah,
there was this, the E.T. cartridges. That's it. I mean, those are your two.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would love to see if they can get it powered up. I'm sure eventually they will. Like, the combined powers of Reddit, it'll happen.
All we have left is the Pippin.
Yeah, the Pippin. I guess the Pippin is still a thing. But no, if they could fire that thing up and put it... just get enough YouTube capture or something of just like, what was the intro thing like? Like, where did the logos pop up?
Yeah, what does that look like? I mean, hopefully the electronics still work. It seems to be pretty well preserved. And it plays original Nintendo cartridges. So that's the big one. And then it also plays optical discs. So like, what games could it play? I mean, did they even make any games on CD for this thing?
That's a good question. I'll bet there were prototypes for... possibly Nintendo franchise stuff, you know, maybe a Zelda offshoot or something. Wow. But
have survived this long? Because we all know that optical discs don't last as long.
There's a sub legend now. Yeah. Like, what games were made and where can we get our hands on those? So yeah, it's a pretty rad story, and I guess I always figured something would turn up. It's not like everybody thought it was legend and never was made, because we knew the arrangement was made, but we thought everything was destroyed. But as we learn, Somebody keeps something.
No amount of preservation can keep the silver or the gray box from yellowing in places, though.
Yeah.
I know.
I noticed that, too, and I'm like, oh, plastic in the 80s. It's pretty good stuff. Veronica, awesome. Always a pleasure. You're going to be doing some, I assume, some cool, you got a panel at Comic-Con and some other stuff. You want to tell anybody what's going on?
Sure. Yeah, I'm doing a panel with Gary Whitta and the guys from Inkshares on crowdfunding stuff. It'll be more fun than it sounds at Comic-Con. I think that's going to be Thursday, July 9th at 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. So look for that. And I'm really only there for the day. I'm kind of hopping in, hopping out. I get in Wednesday night and I leave Thursday night. Mm. So it's going to be a quick trip. And then I guess my next big trip after that, I go to L.A. and then I go to Nerdtacular.
Yay! It's going to happen. It's so weird. I was thinking yesterday that yesterday Sunday would have been me coming home and being exhausted a year ago. Yesterday.
From Nerdtacular?
Yeah, because it was over the 4th of July weekend, and it's just weird to think in 24 days. 24 days, we'll be doing the same freaking thing. So
it's going to be fun.
It's
going to
be great.
Guys.
Yep, very excited to see you, and may the best team win, I guess, as we should start saying that now. Veronica Belmont, everybody. Veronica on Twitter. Don't forget, ask Veronica. That's the hashtag.
Dear.
Damn it. Dear Veronica.
Love of God. Dear Veronica.
Both the hashtag and the show on Engadget.com. Make sure to check that out. I love that Liam O'Brien segment, by the way. That was awesome.
He was great. Yeah. He was a real, real fun person to work with, as always.
He's always a hoot. Stay out of trouble. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Whoa. I didn't hang up on her properly. There we go. Mm.
You hung up on her improperly.
She was in a mood today. I like that. She was excited.
Yes.
Pumped, excited. Okay, Brian. What are we doing now? Emails.
Sure.
I got a couple of them, and they're brought to you by
FantasyCoin.com, where you can now get the N15 Steampunk Challenge coin. They're limited in quantity, so get yours today. Don't worry. If you're attending Nerdtacular, we'll have some there. FantasyCoin.com, bringing your fantasy to reality.
Yeah. Let's see here. Beautiful. Man, you know, I just put a post. I did a tweet just now on the Instance account going, looks like we're going to get a trailer this week. Pretty excited. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody, the community is so negative lately. Like, every reply is negative.
Could I fly in that trailer? Probably not.
He goes, probably only for Comic-Con people. Again, like BlizzCon. F everything being based in the U.S., he says. This other guy's I hope they actually release it outside the... It's like, people just get so pissed. Like,
Now, you could have read that same tweet. I hope they release it in the U.S. Outside of Comic-Con so we can see it.
Well, except for the part where he says... F everything based in the U.S., my frowny face.
Okay, that might be a little bit negative, sure.
yeah, his intentions were clear. All right, what am I doing here? Oh, yeah, emails. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Hi, Scott and Brian. Carter is not alone in being ridiculed for saying the wrong word, or the word wrong. When I was a kid back in the dark ages, I saw a sign and asked what a...
Municipal.
Yeah, municipal, because municipal is... or municipal offices. I pointed to the sign and the whole family howled with laughter. It says municipal office. They teased me for decades. Regards, Jan Scott in Yorkshire, England. Hello.
Yeah, I used to get crap for saying Yosemite.
Oh yeah, Yosemite, dude.
Instead of Yosemite, and
yeah.
I called the hotel chain the Ramada Inn.
The Ramada.
Ramada. stay at the Ramada?
How do you say Crayola and then the word? Crayons. How do you say it?
Crayons.
Do you say crayons?
Yeah.
Here in Utah, it is not uncommon to hear. I say that as well, but here it's not uncommon to hear somebody say crayons.
Crayons. Oh, sure.
Yeah, crayons.
Crayola crayons.
Yeah.
Crayons. Yeah, I've got it. I have to pronounce that O.
Yeah, crayons. You have to, because it's a damn O.
Yes, it's put there for a reason. Yeah. It's not C-R-A-Y-N-S.
That's what I'm saying. Got another email. Thank you, Jan Scott. That's a cool name. And Yorkshire, England sounds like a cool place to be. There's pudding there, right? That's the home of the pudding, the Yorkshire pudding.
Yes, Yorkshire pudding, remembers.
Dear Sweet and Pea, says Jerry L. Tolbert, M.D. He's a doctor.
Okay.
On the July 1st episode, you were talking about the insurance lady drawing your blood and pee. You made a comment at the end of the conversation that it would have been really funny if she had dipped her finger in it and tasted it to tell you what the pH was. Back in the old days, that was actually how we analyzed urine.
Oh.
That's how diabetes mellitus got its name. Am I saying that right? Mellitus. Narcotis.
Miletus.
He says, Miletus means sweet, which is how the urine tasted because diabetics put out excess sugar in their urine. Swig the flow? No. Jerry L. Tobert. that's funny. I didn't know that. That's disgusting.
No, I didn't either.
Man, no wonder doctors make so much money or did.
Yeah, I mean, you think that that would have been one of the first things they would have figured out, how to create a device to measure.
Yeah. For I can't imagine like dipping your finger in somebody's pee and having that be the accurate way, but I guess.
Yeah, that's about a five.
Yeah, I guess.
You're about a quart low.
Yeah, I mean, the only way to really say anything is you'd say, yeah, it's a little sweet, and that means you're a diabetic. I don't know, dude. Yes.
Yeah.
That's really weird. I'm tired all the
not
time.
Liking it.
I'm tired all the time and my feet hurt. Well, let me taste your pee. Like, it's just weird. Thank you for the emails. We love them. Keep them coming. They're always welcome here. The morningstream@gmail.com is the place to do it. Did you know, dear listeners, that Nerdtacular t-shirts are already up for sale and you can get the kind that'll be, order it and then have it waiting there for you at the event.
Sweet.
Or ship to you if you're not coming, or ship to you even if you don't want to pick them up. Well, good, because they will, and they are, and there are two designs, and I'm very happy with both of them. Head on over to Frog Pants, or no, where do we put these now? I guess they're on our main store, so it's over frogpants.com/store. You'll see both the Nerdtacular t-shirt options and their various colors and sizes. Go check them out today. Brian, we got anything else to mention here?
Nothing that I want to say to everybody.
Nothing to pimp. You're going to have some sort of presence for the new album at Comic-Con, right? Somebody there passing out stuff?
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're going to Comic-Con, look for the... let me find it here. You know, I'll have to say it tomorrow because I think finding this is going to take too long. No, I don't have it in front
of me.
That's
it. Okay.
There is a guy who's going to be there. If you've got access to look at the Comic-Con exclusives, then yes, you can find it very easily that way. Because Live from the Cantina will be a Comic-Con exclusive. In other words, it's not available to buy anywhere until after Comic-Con is over, and even after all the Kickstarter people get theirs. So make sure you check out Comic-Con. If you're going there, look at the exclusive list, and you'll find out where at Comic-Con you can pick up a copy.
I like it. Do that and support it. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Our email address is themorningstream@gmail.com. 801-471-0462 is our voicemail line. Follow us on Twitter at Scott Johnson, at Coverville, and at Morning Stream. One quick note. Just going to check the Kickstarter real fast, see where we're at today. We are at... did we hit it? No. I don't want to do spotlights. What are we doing here? Not Nerdtacular. Come on, Scott. Get it together. Keep yourself together. 39,710. That means we are perilously close to the 40K mark, which unlocks custom art from our friends Scott Kurtz of PvP fame. And... Steve Hammaker, who is one of the many incredible things he does, is his incredible comic called Plox. He also was the colorist for all of Jeff Smith's Bone comics in their re-release, and just is an amazing, talented guy. And they'll be get unlocked. So go check it out, myextralife.com/book, and get yourself one of these things so that we can spend the next few months buried in signatures and mailing.
Can't beat that, right?
Can't beat that. All right, that's going to do it for us. Brian, let's go out the way we came in, which is with some music.
Sure. Well, Gary Anthony wrote in, said, "Dear Sketch and Beats, longtime listener, first-time requester, Monday, July 6th is a landmark day for me as it is my 40th Age Remembrance Day. As a child of the 80s, one of my favorite songs has always been Yes's Owner of a Lonely Heart, and I've long thought that the main guitar riff just begs for a really rockin' cover along the lines of Disturbed's Land of Confusion or Korn's Word Up. So, in honor of completing my fourth decade on Spaceship Earth, on or around July 6th, could you please play a good rocking cover of Yes's Owner of a Lonely Heart, if such a thing exists? If not, the Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch song or any fun 80s cover will do. Glad Brad's back from
Tokyo.
Tender
Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch."
There you go.
Signed, Gary.
All right.
Well, it's not a rockin' cover, but it's a damn good cover. This is from the 2013 album from Jacob Moon called Fascination. And this is how I like the song, like stripped down And I don't know, this still will help allow you to enjoy the guitar riff. Trust me. Believe me when I say that.
Yeah.
It's Jacob Moon from his 2013 album, Fascination, and Yes's Owner of a Lonely Heart.
All right, we'll play it now. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Justin, Bill, the whole Tuesday mash-mish will be here, and we look forward to it really with rapt attention. Listen to this song, enjoy it, and we'll see you tomorrow. Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Just get me a beer!